This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Ronji, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called The Show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
It's summer's here already. Like, it just, we're going to mention this one time and then not say it again.
That's right.
It is 1,000 degrees in the studio.
So just as a heads up, because
just in case anybody who works in this building is listening, fix the air. It is so hot in here.
I will say, you might notice when you watch us on YouTube and go, why are they sweating through their shirts?
Yeah, this is why.
And it's because the heat is stuck on. So the studio was upwards of it was over 90 degrees this morning. So anyway, we're just going to mention it once.
That's it.
And then we're going to set it aside. But if you are watching on YouTube, you're going to notice, why do they look so hot?
Yeah, this is why. If you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, and you work for the building we work in, fix this immediately, please.
I'm sweating.
I've been in here 5 minutes. It's already swampy.
I need someone to bring me a new shirt.
Just ridiculous.
It's pretty funny. That's it. We're done now. We're done.
Text us, please. 314-436-7900. You can join the show that way. You can also call us. That's a phone number, you know. And we're on the Audacy app, AUDACY. You can download it to your phone and send us a voice message. We would love to hear from you. Also, like Amy said, you can watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
We have a new mayor, Kara Spencer. Well, I guess she'll be technically sworn in today. She will assume office today in a ceremony that happens at City Hall this afternoon.
And it's tax day, baby.
Oh, crap.
April 15th, it's tax day. And for the first time in my whole life, I'm done. I did it. I did it early.
I think I'm going to skip it.
I'm not a criminal.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it today. Cardinals with a win over the Astros to start the series. And it is a huge, huge night for the Blues. They win in regulation. They're in the playoffs. It is that simple.
They got to win it. They have to win to get in.
They'll take on the Utah Hockey Club tonight. So, man, that I really can't wait for tonight's game.
Yeah.
Just because, again, like I said, if they win in regulation, they are in. There are all kinds of permutations where they could still get in if they don't. But then they need some help from Calgary or Minnesota. But just don't even leave it to chance. Don't even leave it up to other teams. Go win your game tonight in regulation, and you're in the playoffs, right? It's that simple.
When it is in your control,
you
have to take advantage of that.
You have to.
You can't just rely on another team losing. So, yeah, it's in their hands, and it's kind of, okay, this is going to sound harsh, but it's one of those things where you have to step up. You have to win this game. If you don't win at home when you have to, they're at home, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Right, because Matt's going. If you don't win at home when you have to, maybe you don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
You've got to step up.
You have to step up.
That's not wrong. Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't deserve it if you don't win tonight.
And I think
the players would even say the same
thing. Absolutely. So, and we buried the lead, though, because Matt Pajeski, our producer,
yeah.
we were calling a mush?
Mush.
Yesterday. Yeah. The Cardinals won with him in attendance.
You're welcome.
So on Sunday, he went to two games. He went to the Battle Hawks and he went to City. And they lost both of those games. And then last night, we said, if they lose while you're there last night, you can't go to the Blues game Tuesday. You just can't.
Because you're
a mush.
And did you not get confirmation from none other than Tom Ackerman that if they had lost, he wasn't allowed to go to the Blues
game? Yeah, I mean, everybody knew that. There wasn't a single defender of him.
Yeah.
Nobody said, oh, Matt should be able to go. He bought tickets.
Nobody said that.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I didn't buy tickets either. They were gifted.
They were gifted tickets?
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
You get to go, buddy. So the Cardinals won. Not only did they win, they won pretty decisively. Mm-hmm. So, and they have been crushing good pitching, which is, it's awesome. I know we're not even through the first month of the season.
Mm-hmm.
We're, 3 weeks in about? But they are tackling good pitching, and they are winning against it, which is, that's an awesome development. I don't know how long that's going to continue. But it says, or at least it is a very good start for the offense. And we'll talk about that during the Gas House Gang today at 12 o'clock when Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman, and me, we've got Oliver Marmol, who is with us. He's with us every Tuesday from 12 until 12:30. Sometimes he hangs out a little bit longer. But we've got Ollie with us, and we will talk about that today in the Gas House Gang at noon. So you're going to want to listen to
that. I think that's pretty cool. I enjoy listening to it. To be able to sit down with the Cardinals manager for 30 minutes every Tuesday. So, yes, definitely want to stay tuned in for that. Also, in the city of St. Louis, Ronge, we'll keep an eye on it. As you mentioned, the city is getting a new mayor, and Kara Spencer will be sworn in today after a week. After getting elected, which is the shortest turnaround in city history. Usually you have at least 2 weeks.
It's still, even 2 weeks is not very long. 2 weeks is not very long if you just have a regular job and they say, hey, you have to start in 2 weeks and you have to get all of your ducks in a row.
Yeah.
You have to get yourself settled in. That's a quick turnaround depending on the job you're doing, obviously. But if you're the mayor of a major city, that's a really quick turnaround.
Yeah.
To a week later, you got to have a staff and you got to do this and do all that. Like, ugh. Can I have a minute to breathe, please?
Do you know, driving downtown and I will say, I still get so proud when I turn right, east on Market, and I see the arch straight ahead of me. It looks so pretty. I'm so fortunate that I get to see that view every day driving into work. Just the arch, the Gateway Arch right in front of you is so beautiful. Looked extra beautiful downtown this week because those fences are gone around the parks, around the green spaces, around City Hall. And we didn't talk about this yet, Ronj, but it was a big issue for Kara Spencer that she said that these fences have been up around our green spaces, around City Hall for, what was it, a year and a half, 18 months, 16 to 18 months. And it was, obviously, we all know, it was to deal with the homeless encampments that were around City Hall. They were put up, kept up. I know Kamala Harris came into town. They didn't want homeless people around City Hall and in the parks at that time. Kara Spencer said, no, we got to figure out a way to address the homeless population, but also keep the green spaces open. So she, as an order of business, said, when I'm mayor, I want to take these fences down. And the former mayor, Tashara Jones, on her way out, took the fences down, and their statement was that the grass was fixed.
Well, sometimes it takes a year and a half.
through the winter. I like that they went through a winter, too.
I think it's a reasonable question now that we have a new mayor in St. Louis to ask, what is a reasonable expectation for her?
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that any politician, especially, you know, if you're a mayor or, you know, you're a governor of a state or the president, a lot of people expect you to make wholesale changes and make them for the better and improve all mm-hmm. of this different stuff. And I'm very skeptical that whoever the mayor of St. Louis is will be able to fix our problems. I think it is, our issues are much greater than who the mayor of the city is. Doesn't mean they can't handle things and make day-to-day life a little easier for the rest of us, which she can do. So what I want to know from people mm-hmm. is, what is your reasonable expectation for this mayor? And I don't know how much we can put on her. It might just be as simple as, hey, do the basic day-to-day mm-hmm. stuff. If that's all it is, okay, great, tell us that. But I would like to know from people, 314-436-7900, call, text, voice message on the Odyssey app, whatever you want to do. Let us know what your expectation for this mayor is, and think of it realistically.
You know, and leadership matters, Ronj, because I think what people want is hope. They want to feel heard. They want to feel that their priorities are being prioritized by leaders. And I don't think they felt any of those things with Mayor Tashara Jones. She had bigger, grander ideas. We've talked about this with dealing with the city's problems and societal problems rather than potholes. When people were frustrated with the streets stop being plowed, she said, well, I don't think that's happening. The streets director said, I didn't know the streets were that bad. We must have gotten bad information. People didn't feel heard. They didn't feel that trash and streets were a priority for this mayor. And this mayor didn't really make those her outspoken priorities. Again, her outspoken priorities were societal issues, North St. Louis, which is good, but then the grant program had all of its issues and scandals, and closing down the workhouse, which she did after $6 million of renovations. And then she wanted to build a statue to commemorate those who suffered at the workhouse. Okay, but what about down the street, the deadliest jail in the country? Why aren't you talking about that? 19 people have died in the past few years there. And so I think people felt a major disconnect with this mayor. And even if Kara Spencer can't come in like a whirlwind and fix everything all at once, I think people will be encouraged if they feel heard.
Well, I hope there's incremental improvement. And yeah. I don't think Mayor Jones was wrong. The sentiment was right about investment in North St. Louis, because there just hasn't been for decades. And that is a massive underlying problem.
That was that the ends most, up, yeah, admirable it, part, I thought.
It is.
Yeah.
It ends up causing issues for the entire city. So that is a problem. That is something that needs to be addressed. But I think, for a mayor, the best thing you can do is the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. It's boring. It doesn't, you know, it's not very pie in the sky, but you take care of the boring first. And then if you have time, maybe you can invest or you know, invest your time in these other things. However, I do think as a region, we need to invest in North St. Louis.
Yeah, no, we do.
We're hurting ourselves in a very big way because we don't.
It wasn't the sentiment that and the mission to invest in North St. Louis. That's great. I agree with that part. Didn't like the scandals. Didn't like the weird conflict of interest with the contractor who didn't even have a business that existed. Those were big issues. And with Kara Spencer and getting the boring done, here's where I'm encouraged. She did, when she was an alderwoman, complain about this dangerous intersection and said the city needs a stop sign here. And the city just didn't ever put a stop sign there. So she did it, which I think is funny because I didn't know you could do. I guess she bought a stop sign. She herself installed the stop sign. And then the loophole in the gun law, in order to give law enforcement more ability to stop minors from walking around with semi-automatic weapons. She's the one that found the loophole in the gun law. Megan Green pushed back against it initially, and then, of course, when it passed, took credit for it. But Kara Spencer found that loophole. And I do think that there's an on-the-ground feel with Kara Spencer. She's a runner. She talks about it. She'll pick up bullet casings on her run and post on social media, like, here's a handful of bullet casings. We need to address this. So I think being heard and having a leader who is in front of the cameras, the media, the people is very important. So I hope that Kara Spencer continues to give interviews and talk to people and be in town and be seen with the residents of the city of St. Louis.
This is your chance to weigh in. 314-436-7900. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, if you would like to chime in, let us know what you think. You can do that. A texter asks, how can I leave a voice message? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's how you do it. Download the Odyssey app. That's the app that you use to listen to the show, listen to the podcasts, listen to Cardinals baseball, the entire station. You can listen to KMOX, and you can also send a voice message directly from the app. It's Chris and Amy on 104.1.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
FM.
The mayor's job should have a job description, and that should be what the expectation is.
Thank you, Cliff. Leaving us a voice message on the Odyssey app. There's
See,
a microphone
it's simple.
Icon.
It's Anybody very can simple. Do it. We're not. I'm not saying Cliff is a simpleton. I'm just saying anybody can do it.
You very much had the "it's so simple a caveman could do it"
That's
vibe.
That's not at all what I was saying about Cliff.
Okay.
Cliff left us a voice message. You can do it too. And all you have to do is download the free Odyssey app.
To be honest, I don't know that there is a clear job description of the mayor for the city of St. Louis on the city of St. Louis website. We all know that there's a a generic definition of mayoral duties, obviously, but not a terrible idea to throw in a definition of the mayor.
Well, now, see, now there's going to be a fight over what the description would be.
100%. It would never get done.
I don't want to go through that fight.
Maybe we could bring in an outside study, an outside group to study.
We could outsource it.
Yeah.
How much do you spend?
A few $100 million, maybe.
Oh, come on. We're not going to do it like that.
Maybe $100 million. I would say 20 years and $100 million trying to figure out how to plan what to write in the description of the job for the mayor.
Rodney calls into the Chris and Amy show. Rodney from Ladue. How's it going?
Good morning, everybody. How are y'all today?
We're okay.
A little warm, but doing well.
Oh, we said we weren't going to mention it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was my bad, Rodney.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I love it. First of all, let me thank you for all your hard work. I love KMOX. You've been in my life over 50 years, and I appreciate you all. And I just want to say, back to the mayor issue, I'd like to say the old mayor came, she caught a lot of flack for the snow and people being trapped in their neighborhoods and how come there wasn't preparation. The new mayor came in and she ran in, she ran on that subject really hard. And I saw it on the commercials. I heard it everywhere. So I'd like to see some action when it comes to the snow and maybe a little preparation. And I just like to see what she's going to do when it comes to this coming winter, because, you know, she carried a really big stick when it came on that issue. So I'm waiting to see whether she's going to be a politician who just says one thing and does another, or a politician who actually stands on their word.
Well, you're right about that. If you run on it, you better do it. And people got behind her because of it. And even if she didn't run on it, if she had run on everything else and didn't mention snow once, I bet she still gets elected anyway, because I think people were just sort of irritated with the previous administration. But you have to deliver on promises like that. That's not a pie in the sky promise that I'm going to clear the snow when it snows.
Right.
No, you like right.
That's doable. That's a doable promise.
Yeah. And I do understand that there are our streets in some cases are stupid and, you know, they're not conducive to it.
But
there has to be a plan. There's got to be a plan for it. You got to figure it out, and it needs to get done because people were upset about it. I have a lot of friends who live in Soulard and they had issues, and there were other parts of the city, same sort of thing. And those issues remained for, you know, 2-3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that was a problem for them, getting out of their homes, getting to work, doing the day-to-day stuff. But Kara Spencer, she has to deliver if there is another snowstorm like that.
No, absolutely. And those are the things that really affect people day-to-day. You can say that Mayor Jones' grand ideas for the city, for society in general, while laudable, they don't help the elderly person stuck in their home in Soulard who is relying on the kindness of her neighbors to get her medicines and food. You know, that really affects people. And I think that is what people just want done. It's tough to fix societal issues. We can work on them, but first let's fill the potholes and then go after those bigger ideas. And yes, this election, as you mentioned, I think Kara Spencer would have won without the snowstorm. The snowstorm was the final nail in the coffin. It could be both, one, an indictment against Tashara Jones, that it was kind of a vote against Tashara Jones, but really it was a vote against how things were being done currently. People were unhappy with how things were being done currently. So, hey, let's roll our dice with someone new.
I think that was it. I don't really even think Spencer had to run on the snow removal stuff. And maybe the election is slightly closer. Maybe it's like 5 or 10 points closer. But I don't think the Jones would have won that election anyway. And even if the snowstorm didn't happen at all, maybe she doesn't win the election. Right. I just don't think it helped her.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly did not help her. A text message says, here's my expectation. Keep all the remaining existing corporations in downtown and bring in 2 to 3 new ones, I guess, every year. I don't know if they mean every year or just total, but yeah, it would be nice to have more development in that way, but we also need people who want to live down here too. It can't just be corporations, though that helps a lot. People who work down here, if they come into the office, and you're still having to navigate the whole remote work thing because a lot of people do get to work remotely still.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it does bring in people if you have a city where there are people who have office space and they have to go into the office. It helps that city.
Well,
right? So,
yeah.
You know, for the lunch crowd or the shopping crowd or whatever. But then you also have to have others who want to live here.
Just on a quick note, when it comes to businesses, it was reported yesterday that the AT&T building, that AT&T sold its building downtown. And so there.
And that's going to be a mixed use building, too.
It will be, yes. And it was a part of a broader attempt to reduce their real estate footprint nationwide. But yep, that building was officially sold to Rain Capital for $19.4 million.
Really fascinating story coming up here. A woman from Missouri was wrongfully convicted of a murder from decades ago, and she was finally exonerated several years ago. She has written a book about her experience. It is something. And we are going to talk to Judy Henderson, author, when we come back next on KMOX. It is the Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX, and it is time to go to the guest line this morning. And we welcome in an author who had been wrongfully convicted of a crime, oh my gosh, almost 40 years ago now, more than that.
Yeah.
And she was exonerated and has written a new book, which is out today. It's called When the Light Finds Us, From a Life Sentenced to a Life Transformed. Judy Henderson is with us on KMOX. How you doing, Judy?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thank you so much for asking.
So your story starts a long time ago, and there had been multiple governors in the state of Missouri that had the opportunity to exonerate you, and they decided not to do it. And finally, Eric Greitens did come through for you about 8 years ago. So can you tell people exactly what you were accused of and what really happened?
Sure. I was accused of capital murder, which carries life without parole for 50 years or the death penalty. So it was I'd never been involved with the judicial system, nor had any members of my family. So, of course, this was all new and learning how to navigate it. But we both had the same attorney. He was able to manipulate the system, not only the system, but the whole crime to where it pointed to me. He was able to, my co-defendant, and he was able to manipulate the judicial system where I was convicted and he was acquitted of a murder.
Yeah, you were convicted of capital murder for the death of a Springfield, Missouri jeweler. As Ronj mentioned, that was back in 1982, sentenced to life without the possibility of parole for 50 years. And I am trying to comprehend the horror of that moment and so many questions for you and how you went from that moment to where you are now speaking, inspiring people, the book that you've written. Do you remember sitting in that courtroom and how you were able to process your sentence?
Yes. Yes, I do remember because I'm the oldest of eight children and actually nine. I have a stepsister. But it was because of the love of that I have for my family and they have for me and my children, that's what got me through. And I knew I had to stay strong. I had to make them think that I was okay. And I wanted them to be okay and that I could do this. You know, I found out God doesn't put anything in your path without giving you an exit. And I was so angry, but yet I had so much love. And the combination of the two is what got me where I'm at today.
At the time, did you feel like you just didn't have enough allies? Because it would seem to me that it would feel like everybody is against you in that moment.
Yes, it did. And it was election year, too. So I had to also remember that politics played a big part in my conviction. However, the prosecutor that convicted me ended up becoming one of my biggest advocates.
You mentioned faith throughout this journey. Were you a woman of faith when this happened, when you were convicted and sentenced, or did that come later?
I had a Christian upbringing in a middle-class suburban family, and I was a middle-class suburban housewife with two children at the time. But I had kind of left the spiritual path whenever I was sexually molested by an assistant pastor. So it took me a few years to get back there, and it was through my incarceration that I was able to lean on God, and he became even more real to me, and this is where I'm at today. You know, miracles, a lot of miracles in my book.
We're talking with author Judy Henderson, who was wrongfully convicted of a crime many decades ago. And you mentioned the prosecutor, Thomas, is it Mountjoy is his name, who then got behind you after prosecuting you and the boyfriend at the time. He said it was the only time he had ever supported clemency for a somebody he had prosecuted. What changed his mind? What happened there, and how did that process work?
I met with him after, whenever I got out, which was just really strange to be sitting there with him. But he just felt like, you know, he had nightmares about what had happened, and he knew that I wasn't the one that committed the murder. And he just didn't want to have to live with that, even though he did admit that he did not know how his peers would look at him, because he went on to become a circuit court judge. So he was the chief justice at the time, even. But he admitted to me that after he did it, that they were all very proud of him, and they, you know, was very supportive of the decision that he made to do that.
Judy, you mentioned earlier that you, your family members, had never been involved in the criminal justice system.
No.
What was it like arriving in prison, knowing this is where you would spend the rest of your life? And what was it like? What was the prison like?
Oh, the prison, it's another world, a totally different world with a different language, different mannerisms, different laws, policies, rules that you don't think make any sense at all. But after a while, I had to navigate and try to maneuver and figure out, how am I going to fit in here? Because I wasn't a drug user. I wasn't, you know, an alcoholic. I wasn't a career criminal. I was a suburban housewife and mother that loved her children and was very active with her children. So I thought, I don't fit here. What am I going to do? But I'll tell you what, you know what, Amy and Chris, there are a lot of good people in prison, and their journeys are very sad and very heartbreaking. And I had to just look around and see, you know, why am I here? What does God want me to do? But it took me a minute to get to that point of where I finally found out, by helping others and helping them become better than what they were, and understanding what got them there, the same as thing that I had to do, is what gave me purpose. And even though my co-defendant put out a contract on me at the time, and I had to figure out how to save my life, it also gave me a foundation for other people in general population to say, oh, wait, you know, as nice and polite and everything as she is and always smiling, we don't want to mess with her. So that ended up being good for me.
So he put out a contract on you while you were in prison, or once you got out?
Yes. No, once I was in prison.
How did you?
As soon as I got there. Because he hadn't went to trial yet, so he was very concerned that I was going to turn state's evidence.
How did you find out that people were potentially trying to kill you?
Another offender, befriended me and told me that this person, she is a career criminal, or was, I don't know what she is today, but she carried a shank, so she had been in and out of prison, and that she was, she took a contract, and it was from my co-defendant, and she had been in the county jail with me, so she was there where they could communicate after I came to prison, and so that's how I found out.
So
another offender told me.
She decided not to do it, or what happened?
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
No, she did not decide not to do it. I decided to take the situation into my own hands, because because she was a career criminal. She knew how to maneuver the system. I did not. I had to do it on my terms. And so I just asked another lifer to stand at the door and what they call hold bus, don't let anybody in. Well, I had a chat with her, and it ended up into a big fight. And I came out ahead because they ended up transferring her to Kansas. She did have a shank on her. You know, again, you know, I tell people I'm the cat of nine lives because there was so many times that I could have died during this whole situation from the time the crime happened till I was released.
So you were physically fighting her in that meeting with her.
Yes, absolutely. I had to. I felt like I had no choice. You know, that's, you don't go to the officers with things such as this because you don't have any way to prove it. You know, so I had to do it the only way that offenders could do it at the time. And that was just to take it into my own hands and save my own life.
So you're living a nightmare. The day that you find out, I don't know if it was, I'm guessing it was a gradual process where you're finally let out. But the day that you found out that it was probably going to happen, what was that like?
Well, actually, Chris, I really didn't know it was going to happen. I was totally blindsided. I became an official licensed, certified personal trainer and group trainer. So I was teaching classes that day. And so I wasn't prepared to be released that day, or I would have had makeup and hair done, and that's just who I was. And they kept telling me I had to visit. My attorney was in the visiting room, and I just kept telling him, no, and I'm not going. I have to teach some classes. I have to go to the clinic, you know. And so they kind of gave me a direct order, either you go or you're going to the hole. I said, okay, I think I'll go.
Wow. Well, I still can't wrap my brain around this, Judy. When did you even fall asleep for the first time when you're brought to prison? Because I can't imagine the amount of fear and despair I would feel.
Oh, and you do feel that. You do feel that because you're deloused, what you call, you know, because they give you this chemical to put on you, and you're naked in front of everybody, and it's just so, so humiliating. I didn't know if I was going to survive that, let alone it became a ritual, because anytime you have visits, that's the process you go through as far as the strip searches. But I don't know how I slept, to be honest with you. I know my mother would tell me, Judy, you know, because I never wanted my family to really know what was going on. So I tried to figure out how to do this and still remain joyful and assuring them that I was okay over the phone. Whenever I would get off, I would just fall apart, you know, privately, because you can't show any weakness, because that's taken, kindness is taken for weakness. So you can't show that you're weak ever. So it was, my mom would tell me, Judy, open your Bible, because the enemy hates the word of God, and it will bring you peace. Peace will surround you. And so I started doing that, and I continued doing that during my incarceration.
Judy Henderson is the author of a book. It's called When the Light Finds Us, From a Life Sentence to a Life Transformed. It is out today. Highly recommend it. Your story, Judy, is... it's really unbelievable. And the fact you're able to find the strength to do this is remarkable. So thank you for writing it. Thank you for joining us today. We really do appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, Chris. Amy, I love being here. Thank you. And you guys all have a blessed day.
That is Judy Henderson. When the Light Finds Us is the book, From a Life Sentence to a Life Transformed. That is just truly unbelievable stuff. It's Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Well, I'm sure you saw this because everybody did. Everyone's been talking about it and we haven't talked about it. So I figured I'd bring it up and then be done with it. And that is the all-female flight to space with Gayle King and Katy Perry and Jeff Bezos' wife, The famous one, you know, the lady from the inauguration with the very scandalous bra top that she wore. At any rate, here's Katy Perry talking about why she was excited to go to space.
Really excited about the engineering of it all. Mm. I'm excited to learn more about STEM and just the math about how what it takes to accomplish this type of thing. Mm-hmm. I was winding down from a rehearsal the other day, and I was listening to Cosmos by Carl Sagan and reading a book on string theory. And wow. Yeah, I was like going to bed. That was definitely like helping. I was like Pythagoras. but you know, I've always been interested in astrophysics and interested in astronomy and astrology and the stars. I feel like we are all made of stardust and we all come from the stars, and it'll be exciting to see them twinkle from that sight and also have such an appreciation for Mother Earth when we see it in that way.
So, used all the buzzwords, baby. Got all of them in there. Astrology as well, right up there with astronomy and string theory. I also like that she was listening to Carl Sagan's Cosmos while reading a book on string theory. I like to multitask. Even I couldn't do that.
My guess is those were at separate times. I don't think she meant that she was doing them simultaneously.
It's a little heavy-handed. And here's the thing. Okay, I'll just do. This is my hot take. Because there is a raging feminist that is part of me that shows up every now and then. And for some reason, I'm really, really irritated by this space flight. First of all, it's 2025. There are many female astronauts who have done incredible things in science, in space. We just had Sunny Williams spend months and months in space. You don't need to say, women can do anything. Let's take a handful of celebrities like Katy Perry and Gayle King, completely unqualified to go into space, put them in a capsule, shoot them up into space, and act like it is a giant step for womankind, which is what they were saying. It's not.
Well,
it's a little behind the times.
I'm a little, I don't know if I'm against it, but it's, I just don't care about celebrities getting shot into space. Like, I don't need William Shatner up there. It doesn't do anything for me. Or Michael Strahan going up there.
William Shatner meant more to me than
none of it means anything to me. It is all equally useless. I don't understand it. I suppose it's good advertising for Blue Origin to do that, to have those celebrities up there, and maybe it will end up paying off down the road billions, because we are talking about it, right? I don't know. It doesn't do a damn thing for me.
Here's what they should have done. I will just say this. It should have been, hey, look, commercial spaceflight. Sure, we start with celebrities. Every new technology starts being super expensive, but soon maybe more of us can go up into space. That's what that is. Don't act like it's a step for womanhood. It's not. You could have put 10 potatoes in there. They didn't accomplish anything.
Amy? Have you ever been pissed off that your girlfriend's family went on a cruise without you?
No, and for several reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's just say that you have.
Okay.
Here's the thing to not do. Phone in a bomb threat.
Oh, no.
In Kalamazoo, Michigan, a man has been sentenced to 8 months in prison. This happened this week. This after back in January of last year, he called the Carnival Corporation, and his girlfriend had gone on a family trip on a cruise, and he had called in a bomb threat because he was upset that he had to stay back home and watch the family's pets. So the Carnival,
I feel like that was the wrong step to take.
Yeah, it's totally the Carnival cruise had to check 1,000 rooms for a bomb because of what this kid, Joshua Lowe is his name.
How
he's
old?
19 years old.
And I also believe that's a federal crime.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he actually emailed the threat in. I think I said a phone call. FBI agents traced that email address to him. He was living with his girlfriend's family. He admitted he sent the message because he was upset they went on the cruise and they left him behind to care for the pets.
Please tell me they broke up.
I don't know. But I also know that maybe you should invite your live-in to go with you on this cruise.
No. First of all, I don't want to do a cruise.
Stay home and watch the pets.
I would volunteer. I don't want norovirus.
Yeah, I don't
want
to go on that.
You could stay home,
either.
Hang out with some animals, have some peace and quiet.
Tell you what, I'll go on one of those Viking River cruises, though.
Oh, my gosh. I do want to go on those. My aunt and uncle go on those. And they're the ones that will text listening to the Odyssey app.